Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
God told me to tell you this.
That's paganism.
Do you really expect and anticipate that the divine voice of God can be heard by you?
That's horoscope reading.
Standing in the office of the prophet of God.
That's reading tea leaves.
You can't have a relationship to God if you can't hear God.
That is not biblical Christianity.
You want to hear God speak to you? Read your Bible. If you want to hear God speak to you audibly, read it out loud. I promise you, 100% guaranteed, you will hear him speak.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Another giant has fallen. This is Wretched Radio. Dr. John MacArthur passed away 2 weeks ago, and many of us mourned and celebrated. His memorial is coming up August 23rd in Los Angeles. But overall, the world seemed to be more interested in the death of Ozzy Osbourne. What a tragedy that is. Ozzy's music will be played a little bit until classic rock stations go out of business and have to change their format, because you probably don't listen to a channel that plays classic crooners like Bing Crosby. It eventually, the old rock and roll, it'll have to go and it'll be replaced by something new. But until then, Ozzy was the focus. Should have been Dr. John MacArthur, because a giant walked among us. And his passing is a great loss, not just for his family and local church, for the conservative evangelical body at large, and even for a nation. But we just lost another giant, and another tragedy is exposed. Very few people know much about this man who walked among us and had a massively profound impact on biblical counseling. I'm speaking of the late Dr. Wayne Mack. How old was Dr. Mack? Jimmy, you did a bunch of, I kid you not, Jimmy actually did a bunch of research right before the program, and I said, please, let's find out how old Dr. Wayne Mack was when he passed yesterday.
Right.
How old was he?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
I can't find
Did you fall asleep?
I cannot.
Did you get distracted doing something else?
No.
Are you playing video games?
No, trust me, I'm not doing that.
All right. Why don't you know how old the man is?
It's not anywhere on the internet.
That's unbelievable.
It is. I do know that he was married to his wife, Carol, in 1957.
Yeah, so that tells you, I'm guessing he had to be in his 90s. I think it was about 2005. He was at least in his 70s. He might have been in his late 90s. He's had health struggles for the last several years. I've spent time with Dr. Mack. He was such a godly man. He was such a shepherd at heart. He cared so much for people. And he struggled with illness, but he went to Africa, nevertheless, South Africa, I think in 2005. Because he saw there was no biblical counseling happening in South Africa. Zilch. So he went to train pastors and to train people to become biblical counselors. And he worked, he had associations with people in the States. People would fly over to teach and to do seminars. And he helped to establish biblical counseling in South Africa at the age of like 80. Now that is a giant. That is a man who is running the race to the end. And we don't even know his death date, or his death age rather, on the internet. The world seems to yawn at the passing of such giants. We should remember these individuals and learn from them, not to lift them up and put them on a pedestal, but to take a look at the life of a man who's, you have felt the impact of Wayne Mack. You didn't even know him. You felt his impact. Why? He wrote scads of books. We've shared them here before. Perhaps, maybe his greatest contribution would be a practical guide for biblical counseling, for effective biblical counseling. Sorry, this is a bit of an excursus. Reading a book currently by Mike Fabara's Preaching That Changes Lives. And he regularly quotes Jay Adams. Now, if you know biblical counseling, you know that Wayne Mack and Jay Adams were pals. And Jay Adams, the quotes that Mike Fabara's chose to use for this book that I encourage every pastor to read. You just got to read Mike's book. It will change your preaching. on one level or another. You might be going down the path that he's espousing, but I'm telling you, it will sharpen your preaching. The comments from Jay Adams were that preaching that just fills brains but doesn't move the whole man is not preaching. It's teaching. In other words, scripture needs to be applied. That's what biblical counseling is. It is the Bible applied directly to an individual. So it got me to thinking, if there's been a famine in our land, I'm talking about conservative circles, where we've had a lot of didactic preaching that has not tried to affect the whole man, will, volition, emotions, everything about the person. It's just been affecting the brain, learning a lot of stuff about God. Maybe that explains why it is so regular. If you're a biblical counselor or you've watched Transformed, our TV series, which you should, I think we just dropped a new episode today, Transformed Season 4. You will regularly hear people go, huh, that's really weird. I've heard that verse like 1,000 times, man. I've heard that verse preached, but I never knew it meant that. I didn't realize it could do that for me. Why do they say that? Perhaps it is because so much of our very fine didactic preaching doesn't have application. It doesn't explain, this is what it should do for you. This is what it will do to you. This is what it demands of you. That is teaching. That is preaching, because it has application. And that's exactly what Wayne Mack was about. Taking the Bible and applying it so that people could have their aha moment and go, oh, now I see where I've been going wrong. Because he took the Bible and applied it, contributed greatly to the legacy of biblical counseling, and he passed. And it's and not many people know about it, but heaven does. He has his earthly reward. The wrong that appears on the internet by not even having a Wikipedia page for this man. I don't know how many books Wayne sold. Probably a million books, if I had to guess.
A lot.
He wrote so many books. And he taught so brilliantly on biblical counseling, and then flying to South Africa to live there so that he could introduce people to biblical counseling. Come on. That's a giant's work. And the world snores. It's more of an indictment on the world, certainly, than it is on the legacy of Wayne Mack. But it raises a question. Interestingly, had a conversation very recently with a friend who's turning the calendar. It's funny how the zero year of your life should cause you to go, what am I up to? What am I doing here? I don't know if that happens very much when you're 20. I don't recall it. 30, I remember just blowing by that. 40, I was still a knucklehead. But I should have stopped to go, what am I doing here? And this friend of mine is pondering that very question as he's flipping the calendar to become a zero year. All right, where am I at? What am I doing for the kingdom? Am I doing the things that are most impactful? The things that will reach the most people with the great news that Jesus Christ died for sinners? What am I doing? I suspect Wayne Mack asked that question. And his answer was, I think I'll go to South Africa. I'll start up a biblical counseling center there. And he maximized the effectiveness of his life. And he taught until he died. Now, I think he's been bedbound for a bit. But I remember spending time with Wayne. He came and preached at my old church. And I asked him to come into studio because he was talking, as I recall, about the components that make a young man a stellar man. It was brilliant. It was all biblical. And it was like, oh, yeah, that's really good. This guy worked till he died. And I think that would be a lesson that we could learn from Wayne Mack. I get it. You get older. And by all accounts, everybody tends to get a little bit more tired. I remember seeing a clip recently of John MacArthur. I think somebody was asking him, hey, when you die, well, what's going to happen here? And John MacArthur said, well, right now, God has given me the strength to keep going. I think strength is a big deal. I think you're probably going to have limited capacities the older that you get, but that doesn't mean you don't have any capacities. Wayne Mack asked the question, what am I doing? What am I doing for King Jesus? And he was willing to, South Africa is lovely, I hear, wee bit dangerous these days, but he left home. He left better food options. He left America to go do something that would last, even though Wikipedia doesn't recall or even know who he is. Even though perhaps people don't know who he is, they will know what he taught. They will know that the Bible does indeed address their emotional issue, their sin problem, whatever the struggle is, the Bible has the answer. And his impact will be felt forever in the church. And currently, the wrong of the internet has been righted in heaven as a giant has been welcomed and heard the words, well done, good and faithful servant. Those should be the words that we're all longing to hear. This is Wretched Radio.
Is your marriage at a bit of a breaking point? The person you said vows to and promised to spend forever with, do they now feel like a stranger? The love and trust between you, has that been now replaced with bitterness and betrayal and even silence? Well, know that you're not alone. Marriages everywhere are falling apart. Introducing Transformed Season 4. Six brave couples opened their hearts as Dr. Lou Priolo guided them through infidelity and resentment, communication breakdowns, using biblical counseling that actually works. 13 honest, powerful episodes that show you exactly how God's Word changes everything. One new episode drops every week, and it's completely free at FortisPlus.org. Plus, you can get the free study guide and apply these life-changing principles to your own relationship. Whether your marriage needs healing or you just want to grow stronger together, this series, Transform Season 4, is for you. Streaming now at FortisPlus.org.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California, beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number six for preparing students for the real world. All that, plus the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Picture this. Every morning, countless Christians are waking up and wondering how they're going to navigate today's increasingly complex and upside-down world. And that's where Fortis Institute comes in. Not just another ministry, but your daily partner in standing firm in biblical truth. I mean, you've probably noticed that we're different from our daily podcasts like Integrated with Dr. John Krotz or Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney. We're bringing together some of the most trusted voices in Christianity to help you and your local church thrive. But here's the thing. This mission, well, it takes resources, and that's where you come in. By becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just supporting a ministry, you're investing in the spiritual fortification of countless believers and local churches across the nation. So will you join us? Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, and together we can help Christians stand strong in their faith no matter what challenges tomorrow brings. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Books of the Bible. Luke was a physician and companion of Paul, who wrote an orderly account of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He meticulously details names, places, and events. Luke shows great concern for people of every class, especially overlooked or undesirable people. We are all from various places and classes, but Jesus Christ is the Savior for all mankind. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Found it! This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, you continued sleuthing. Did you AI?
I did. It pointed me.
Why didn't you do that initially?
Well, I thought I could find it really quickly. I didn't know it was going to be so...
everything.
Yeah. I didn't know it was going to be so hidden.
You know, I got to tell you, Mrs. Friel and I were talking about the AI machine. And we've been reading statistics about jobs in the tech industry and that they're shrinking. They're just going away. And all of these young people that have received degrees and probably accumulated a fair amount of debt are no longer getting hired. There's no entry-level jobs. So much of it, not all of it, but so much of it has been replaced by the H-1B visa, which is actually accurate and true, by AI. The question is, what are these people supposed to do for a living? We go through seasons culturally in Western civilization, especially starting with the Industrial Revolution, where a lot of changes started taking place. So when a factory line, an assembly line was built, what did it do? It eliminated people work. It eliminated human occupations. But the good news is it replaced those positions with other positions. Higher productivity, they had to have more other things built, more shipping department jobs, more people delivering the product. It shook out and jobs got replaced. There used to be people who made a living selling and maybe building horses. No, you don't build a horse. And buggies, the buggy that goes with the horse. God makes the horse. The point is, that job pretty much went out of business, unless, of course, you live in Ohio, in Amish country. There's not a great market for buggies. Why? Because we replaced it with something better, the automobile. We replaced it with so many ways for mass transportation. And that put people out of jobs, but it also created jobs. More cars were made than buggies, so people got in the auto industry. Now, some of those jobs get eliminated because of more technological advancements with robotic work, but nevertheless, we always kind of sort of, you know, it settles out. When the internet hit, if you recall, a lot of people were talking about, hey, what is this going to do for people's jobs? Because it could close down a lot of brick and mortar stores. And to a degree it did. But we've still got stores because people still like to look at and touch stuff and try it on. But it did eliminate some brick and mortar stuff. But what did it do? It created other tech jobs. And so people would get trained and they found employment there. Question: what are we going to replace lost AI jobs with? If AI is so able to do accounting, statistical analysis, data science, what are those people going to do? It seems to, and I'm no prophet, but it seems to me that we should be looking for jobs that no robot can do. They can't perform those tasks that AI can't do. And it seems to me we might be heading back the other direction, where more labor jobs are needed, more farming jobs are needed, things that a computer can't do, because I'm not sure it's going to be replacing those jobs. We're eliminating tech jobs. So let's just say there's 1 million people right now without a job who are in the tech field. What are they going to do? Where are they going to go? We need to replace it with a new industry. Now, I'm not a predictor of what technology is going to create, but I don't see it on the horizon. And this might be something for you to consider if you're young. I'm not sure this is the greatest motivation, but if you're looking to the future and you're saying, all right, if it's true, AI is kind of taking over the world, it's displacing a lot of people's employment. If robots are going to be able to do the work of human beings, I hear right now they've actually got a machine now that can pick grapes, that can go through the vineyards and pick the grapes. Those are jobs lost. If that's the case, is there a job that won't be jeopardized by AI? And I think there is. Pastoral ministry. Oh, I know. To a degree, that's being challenged because AI promises, I can be your spiritual guru. I can tell you what you should do and think and believe. And an AI will try to act like a pastor, but I don't think it can ever replace a pastor because AI can't hold your hand. AI can't visit people in the hospital. AI can't see your body language and understand and see maybe the tears that you're shedding when you're going through something traumatic. Pastoral ministry might just be one of those fields, something to consider. Not the greatest motivation, but something to ponder. You could become a pastor and, well, at least your job is safe. And by the, oh, I was reading the Evangelical Free Church of America. Now, they it's an small orthodox denomination. And Evangelical Free Church, they are in Minneapolis, in Bloomington, Minnesota, right off of 494, if I'm not mistaken. And they're saying we don't have enough young men coming up to replace all of these pastors because like the average age, like, dude, the average age for a pastor now is about 60 and there's no replacements on the horizon. Maybe. Here's something for us to consider. This is kind of my fantastic thinking, but could it be that God is inventing AI to drive more young men into pastoral ministry? Could be. He's in control of everything, after all. Jimmy, what did AI say is the age of Wayne Mack at his passing?
He turned 90 years old in June.
All right. Now, do I also have it right that he went to South Africa in 2005?
Yes.
So he was 70 when he went.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I knew him at that time. And his health was okay, but it wasn't great at the time. Nevertheless, he went. Let me share with you just a part of what Wayne Mack has contributed to biblical counseling from his book, A Practical Guide for Effective Biblical Counseling. You maybe have heard about the eight I's of biblical counseling. I think that it's Wayne who was at least a part of creating these eight I's for biblical counseling. Involvement, building warm, caring friendships, and influential relationships. Oh, man, that'll preach right there. If you want to help somebody in their sin, let's say, do you have a warm, caring friendship, an influential relationship? And maybe you're thinking, this doesn't seem practical. Are you a parent? Do you have children? Are you desiring to see them grow in godliness? If this I involvement is indeed a crucial component to seeing change in somebody's life, do you have a warm, caring friendship, an influential relationship with your child? If you don't, bing, ding. It's just you can fire those wisdom bullets all day and they're just going to deflect them. They just got Teflon brain. But if you focus at least as much on relationship as rules, your counseling to your kids will be more effective. Number two, inspiration. Inspiring people with biblical hope. You got to know God has a solution. You've got to know God fixes all problems. Some problem is going to cause God to not have the ability to make somebody more whole. It's preposterous. And so we need to let people know when they are struggling, there is hope for you. There is hope. You can start to feel better immediately knowing, okay, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. It's totally dark right now, but I have been promised in the Word of God that there is hope for my situation. Number two, inventory. Collecting and considering data on the people who come to us, their background, education, parents, jobs, physical conditions, strengths, weakness, both spiritual and in their character, their key relationships, the pressures they face. In other words, the biblical counselor gets to know you because that information can be kind of helpful when you're trying to apply Bible verses to their lives. Number four, interpretation. You use inventory gathered in relation to biblical teaching to interpret the nature and cause of a person's problems. In other words, you throw away the DSM-5 and you use your Bible to interpret their situation. Instruction. Oh, a young lady just threw a party, 18 years old. because she was going to get her diagnosis and they were going to celebrate it because she was going to get labeled. And she had pretty much everything, PTSD, ADHD, autism spectrum. And they were celebrating that. We need to reject that. We need to stop letting the world label people. The Bible should interpret it, followed by instruction, how to have goals and solve problems, inducement, inspiring strong godly principles in the person to motivate them to reach the goals of instruction, implementation, how to do this stuff. And then finally, and this is crucial, integration. You got to be integrated into a local church because your counseling is going to end, but your needs will continue. Don't we all have those? Where will you find ongoing support? That's right, in the context of your local church. The Eight I's, courtesy of the late, great Dr. Wayne Mack. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. Some rare good news coming from Hollywood today as Disney settled their lawsuit with Gina Carano, the actress they fired from The Mandalorian back in 2021 for daring to compare political persecution to what happened in Nazi Germany. The statement Disney released admitted that Carano was always well-respected by her directors, co-stars, and staff, and even promising to identify opportunities to work together in the future. Translation, we panicked under woke pressure and now realize we made a costly mistake. Carano, on her part, was gracious, thanking God for his love and grace in the outcome. A reminder to us all that taking the high road often pays dividends. The Air Force has drawn a clear line on transgender ideology by denying early retirement benefits to service members with 15 to 18 years who refuse to comply with the reinstated military ban. With those with 18 to 20 years who got approved for early retirement, the dozen or so with less service time will receive separation pay at double the normal rate instead of pension benefits. A measured approach that acknowledges service while maintaining military standards. Exactly what you would expect from leadership that puts mission effectiveness over political correctness. Meanwhile, in Arlington, Texas, we're getting a disturbing look at what passes for mayoral conduct when Mayor Jim Ross was caught on video unleashing a profanity-laced tirade against a Christian street preacher at an LGBT festival. Ross, who claims to be moderate, told the preacher that he would commit sexual acts with the man's wife, using language so vile, I would never, ever repeat it on the air or even in private. This is the same mayor who created advisory councils based on race and identity while apparently struggling with his own tax obligations. And in upstate New York, the Child Advocacy Center of Greater Rochester learned that parents still have voices when they canceled a drag bingo fundraiser after community backlash. A drag performer is claiming the cancellation means hate wins, apparently not grasping that parents questioning why a child protection organization would host adult-themed entertainment for kids isn't hate, it's common sense. One commentator perfectly captured the absurdity, saying this was never about inclusivity, it was about boundaries. Boundaries that matter when you're working with vulnerable, traumatized children. Finally, some justice from across the Atlantic. A Brazilian woman has been granted refugee status in Europe after facing 25 years in prison for misgendering a transgender politician. The woman's crime? Well, she posted on social media that the most voted on woman in Sao Paulo was a man. Now she's the first person officially recognized as a victim of state persecution for opposing gender ideology. A precedent that could help others fleeing countries where truth-telling has become criminalized. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Revelation. God has revealed himself through many means, including the conscience. God has given each person a conscience so that they can understand his moral standard and their failure to keep that standard. While the conscience can be deadened and twisted by sin, every human being has an innate knowledge of God's law.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Yes. Yes, I am. Yeah, this is Wretched Radio. At the risk of beating the horse, which is a risk we're always willing to take, if the stakes are high enough, is it possible that there's something big going on that involves the devil. That's right. That involves Satan blinding the eyes of unbelievers and perhaps clouding the very basics of the Christian faith. If you've listened to this here Wretched Radio program, perhaps more than once, you've heard me, and I know that this consternates, it makes people angry sometimes to talk about this, but it has been my observation, and this goes back to at least 2015. How do I know? Because I wrote it in a book called Judge Not, which, by the way, is on. Jimmy, would you see if Judge Not is still available? I'm telling you, if you want any of our hard copy stuff, the stale is going on right now. Stuff is selling out, which is super groovy because once we get rid of the warehouse stuff, everything is free. We're not selling stuff anymore. But by the way, the stuff is free right now. If you go to Fortis Plus, it's all there. So you can partake Sunday school curriculum, everything free. So we're just emptying out the warehouse. And I think Judge Not is maybe we've still got some copies left, but stuff is super cheap. So even if you don't like the stuff we produce, if you're truly born again, you will want to take advantage of such a good deal. I'm talking a massive sale here. We still got that book available?
Almost. Hold on.
And by the way, while you're looking, multitask, how's the person who's handling all of these orders doing? Have you heard any reports?
Yes. Yes, I have.
Oh, really? What have they been?
Well,
there's a lot of them.
Exhaustion.
Mrs. Hicks ships all of the goodies that you ordered. By the way, if you take advantage of the sale, most likely we're going to throw stuff in. We're just going to. It is our, because of our gospel partners, we want to give our stuff away. So take advantage of the sale, fortisinstitute.org, where you could get Judge Not, where I talked about the importance of getting the gospel right, that all of the elements are contained. Otherwise, it just is not as full a presentation as it can be. And it got me to thinking over the course of the weekend, well, what if our lack of attention to the details of the gospel has been what Satan has been using to make a lot of tares, to make a lot of rotten fish and foolish virgins. In other words, to create a ton of false converts because we don't explain the gospel fully. And so when somebody is claiming or is being proclaimed as somebody who's preaching the gospel, well, I'll give it a listen. And sometimes we'll work through it here on Wretched Radio to hear, are all of the elements of the gospel in place so that it makes sense? If not, I don't think anybody's trying to be cruel in withholding information, but it's not as careful as it needs to be. And so the reason that I am willing to beat the horse one more time. Yeah. It's the yeah. That's my favorite part of that stinger, is because I wonder if we might see more people genuinely coming to the Lord if you and I just batten down the hatches a bit. We start dotting our I's and crossing our T's, and we start acting in a way that makes sure that we don't leave any parts out. That this is more important than surgery, and we want the guy or the gal operating on us to do it right, or we die. The same thing is true with the God. We've got to be more surgical with the gospel. Jimmy, have you got, is the book still there?
It is. It is.
Okay. How much is it, by the way?
It's really cheap. $4.99.
Okay.
That's the cheapest I've ever seen.
I think that's cost is what it is. We just, and the books, by the way, you'll be able to read them in the future online. You can always get them elsewhere, but everything's got to go because we're clearing the warehouse because we're giving stuff away, which you can start taking advantage of right now at fortisplus.org. It's all free. Do not let the plus deceive you. I think it was 2 weeks ago, maybe, we went through the conversation that Chad Wright had with Joe Rogan and we analyzed it. Not because his goal necessarily was to proclaim every bit of the gospel, but to use it to say, was every bit of the gospel there? We did that with Wes Huff a while back. And we just said, okay, everything he's saying is good, but does it contain all of the elements of the gospel. And of course, the question should be, well, what are all the elements of the gospel? I think a very simple way to remember it is who, what. Who is God? You got to have that. You got to have it. Otherwise, none of it makes sense. What's up with hell if you don't know that God is holy, righteous, and just? What is he so mad about? Well, it's because of his character and his nature. He loves righteousness. That is the foundation of his throne. If we don't understand who God is and who we is, we's lawbreakers. We shatter his laws and thought, word, deed. And what do we deserve? His temporal and eternal punishment. What has God done because he is rich in mercy? He sent his only begotten son that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. What should my response be? I should want to drop my sins and put my faith in Jesus Christ. That's all the elements of the gospel. And please don't assume people know it. We were Ubering. Jimmy, I don't even think I told you. We did a quick jaunt to Lincoln, Nebraska. It was a quickie.
Is that a quick jaunt?
Oh, well, the weather stalled us a little bit at the airport, but overall it was a pretty quick jaunt. And Lincoln is a very nice town. And I didn't even realize this. That's where their Cornhuskers are. Their stadium. Whew. That's a good looking stadium they got. I don't know how good the football team is, but they play in a nice facility. And we were Ubering, and it was a longer Uber. And so I asked the fellow, do you have a religious background? And he said, oh, yeah. I grew up as a Christian. Cool. Do you go to church? Yep. I go to XYZ Baptist Church. Oh, that's awesome. Can you explain the gospel to me? Why don't I let you do it, he said. Because he didn't know it. Now, as I made my way through who, what, he was actually, he knew some of it, but he was putting it together. He was understanding it because he'd been missing the elements, or the elements had been presented in such a way that they were like all over the place and you had to put a puzzle together. Well, people sometimes don't put the puzzle together. We have to put it together for them. With that as our backdrop, I also received an email sent to idea@wretched.org that has a thorough, I am told, gospel presentation, for better or for worse, from one Justin Peters. That's right. Justin is up to bat. I haven't watched this. It is 14 minutes long. We probably won't get through the whole shebang. But let's just hear if Justin presents who, what.
Hello, dear ones. I want to take just a few moments and share with you the gospel. And the gospel is this.
By the way, the crackling noise, he's in front of a fireplace.
All of us are sinners. You are a sinner. All of us have broken God's laws.
Okay. That's what number two? What I am?
The Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not lie. Every single one of us has told lies. And if you've told one lie, you are a liar. Thou shalt not steal. All of us have taken something that does not belong to us. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain.
Opening up the Ten Commandments.
All of us have used God's name in an irreverent way. And taking God's name in vain is not just saying OMG or some derivative of that. We take God's name in vain in word and in deed. Mm-hmm. Thou shalt not commit adultery. But Jesus says, if you look at a woman with lust, you've committed adultery already in your hearts. If you have ever looked at another person with lust, you're an adulterer. All of us have broken God's laws thousands of times over the courses of our lives.
Jimmy, I think...
You getting a word?
Maybe I'm getting a word here. He's going to talk about the problem with our sin. I have confidence in you, Justin.
And just like when we break laws on earth, there's a penalty to be paid.
There it is.
How much more so when we break the laws of God? But because we have sinned against God who is eternal, the punishment of that sin is also eternal. And if we die in our sin, we'll very rightly and very justly go to a very real place that the Bible calls hell.
All right. We got who is God? Who is man? What should he do with us?
Where the worm will not die, the fire will not be quenched, There'll be wailing, weeping, gnashing of teeth. The full undiluted fury of God's wrath will be poured out forever and ever, day and night, and it will never end.
Now, I haven't heard the whole shebang, but this is how far we are. The understanding of God's character, like, why hell? Why hell? Well, we've got to understand he's holy, he's righteous, he's just. Will Justin Peters get to that? I suspect he will. But we'll find out together next on Wretched Radio.
The world says you're broken, a victim of chemical imbalance, just another diagnosis and a long list of mental health labels. But what if they're wrong about you? What if there's a completely different perspective? Dr. Greg Gifford, a Fortis Institute fellow, is challenging everything you've been told about mental health. In our exclusive forum, Psychology versus Scripture, The Truth About Mental Health, Dr. Gifford will reveal why the Bible never describes anxiety, depression, or emotional struggles as diseases, but instead offers a framework of sin, suffering, and sanctification. You're not defined by psychiatric terminology, and there is a path to true transformation that medication alone cannot provide. Join us for an eye-opening Fortis Forum that will help you break free from worldly definitions and find lasting peace in Christ. You can watch this Fortis Forum, available right now for free at fortisplus.org. That's fortisplus.org. Your journey to true transformation begins right now. Okay, I'm going to admit it up front. I'm about to use every cheesy sales phrase in the book because, well, this time, they're actually true. The Fortis store is closing permanently, and we literally mean everything must go because after this month, there won't be a store. Presently, you're going to notice that we've slashed prices up to 75% off all physical inventory. That's books and booklets and DVDs and CDs, you know, the old-fashioned things you can actually hold without charging your battery. And at these prices, you're going to wonder if we've lost our minds. Spoiler alert, we haven't. We found our mission. Thanks to our incredible gospel partners, we're going to be making all of our digital resources completely free on Fortis Plus. Free, as in $0. But first, help us empty our shelves. You've got through the end of this month to take advantage of all of our physical inventory. After that, these resources are going to become collector's items. Visit FortisInstitute.org right now. Trust me, your future self is going to be grateful you didn't miss out on this wonderfully ridiculous clearance event, going out of business sale or something. FortisInstitute.org. You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. You walk out of the office carrying a label, and you wonder why you feel even heavier than you did before you walked in. That's why Dr. Greg Gifford wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Look, not every struggle is solved with a pill. Not every label tells the entire story. What if addiction's not just a disease? What if your anxiety is not just a chemical imbalance? And what if the diagnosis handed to your child is not the final word? The world gives its answers, but rarely does it ever deal with the heart. Scripture does. Order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at fortisinstitute.org/lies. That's fortisinstitute.org/lies.
Attributes of God. The Bible tells us of God's goodness. God does not measure up to an external standard of goodness. He is the standard. Because everything God does is, by definition, good, we can trust that God will do what is right in every situation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And there is no amount of good works that you and I can perform to overcome the debt that we owe to God, to overcome the debt that our sins have incurred.
This is Wretched Radio. That, of course, is the warm voice of Justin Peters, who, Jimmy, he might be in studio, I think, in September, right?
I think so.
I get to be down in Daytona Beach at the Cornerstone Conference. You should go to that if you want to go to Florida in September. Go to the Cornerstone Conference. What?
They believe, Justin and Jim Osmond believe, that every time they come, you leave.
That's true. It's the weirdest deal. They're coming to town to go to your church to speak at your church conference.
Right.
And I happen to be leaving to go to Florida at the same time. It's just providence. And so they're going to come into the studio and host because, well, I'm going to be in Florida. It's going to be hard on the beach because I think that's right where the conference is. You can learn more at, what's the website for the Cornerstone Conference? It's four letters. If you type in enough letters, you will finally find the combination, which will take you to the Cornerstone Conference. Ken Ham is going to be there. H.B. Charles, Tom Askell, Virgil Walker, Daryl Harrison, and Phil Johnson making his first appearance since his dealing with his health. It will be such a great conference. You can learn more at
WJLU.org.
WJLU.org. Justin Peters will be in studio in the meantime. He's sitting in front of a raging fireplace and he's sharing the gospel. Does he contain all of the elements that make the gospel make sense? Now, so far, I think there's an element that could be shored up in his presentation, and that is the character and the nature of God. The reason that hell is eternal. Now, he did explain that hell is eternal because God is eternal. He's infinite. And our crimes, therefore, are to be infinitely punished. Does he talk, though, about his holiness and his righteousness and his justice, which explains why there is so much fury because of sin?
God is good. And because he is good, he must punish sin.
Okay. What do you ask tonight? He's getting to it.
If he did not punish sin, then he would not be good. Think of it in a courtroom setting. If someone has committed murder and that person is caught and the security cameras, you know, were rolling, they've got footage, all the evidence is there. This person committed murder and he stands before the judge. He's been found guilty in a court of law. And the judge says, well, sir, before I pass sentence on you, you've been found guilty for the act, for the crime of committing murder. Before I pass sentence on you, do you have anything to say for yourself? What if you were to say, well, judge, you know, I think you're a good judge. And because you're good, I think you should let me go. After all, I've only committed one murder on one day. I've lived thousands and thousands of other days, never killed anybody, just this one person on this one day. So, you know, I think my good deeds outweigh my bad deeds. Mm. What if the judge were to say, well, I've never really thought about it that way. I am a good judge. And yeah, your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds. So I'll tell you what, I'll let you go. You're free. We'll see you later. Have a nice day. And that person walks out the door. Would that be a good judge? No, be a terrible judge, right? A good judge must punish crime. God is the ultimate good judge, and he must punish sin.
Now he's explaining the reasonable nature of punishment for sin. So what we've heard is who, what. I think we're going to get to the next what.
If he did not punish sin, then he would not be good. But because we have sinned against God who is eternal, the punishment of that sin is also eternal. And dear ones, there is no amount of good works that you can perform to overcome the debt that your sins have incurred to God. God is eternal. The punishment is also eternal. Our works, doing nice things, you know, for people, helping little old ladies across the street, philanthropic stuff like that, you know, in and of themselves, they are what they are, but they do not touch what we owe to God. Our works are as filthy rags before a thrice holy God. That's what...
There it is right there. Because he's thrice holy.
God's word says in Isaiah chapter 64, our works are as filthy rags. Lay your works down. They will not profit you anything. There is nothing that you can do to save yourself. You deserve hell.
That is who, what, isn't it? Quite and thorough, and it makes sense.
That's the bad news. But there is good news.
I think we're going to get to our next what.
And the good news of the gospel is this, is that God has made a way of escape. He has made a way for you to escape his own wrath. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to this earth. And Jesus lived a perfect life. He was one person with two distinct natures. truly God, truly man. And as the God-man, Jesus lived a life of perfect pleasure and satisfaction to God the Father.
This might be another subcategory. What is Jesus? Or maybe who is Jesus? Fully God, fully man. And if you heard that, it's like two natures, one, he's getting a little deep. I think people actually want that. They don't want something trite, superficial, and silly. They want something that appears, it's like, okay, this is a little deeper than I imagined it was.
Never sinned. He never displeased the Father. He lived a life of perfection. And then Jesus willingly laid down his life on the cross. His life was not taken. He gave it. And on the cross, this perfect person offered his perfect life as a perfect sacrifice to perfectly satisfy the perfect wrath of God. Died on the cross, 3 days later, bodily raised from the dead, proving himself to be
so important, the resurrection. That's one I tend to forget. So if you were running the tape on me, you might say, hey, what about the resurrection? I would honestly be guilty as charged too often than I should.
God in human flesh. And if you will repent of sin.
This is our last what. What should you do?
Turn from sin and place your trust in the risen Lord Jesus Christ and what he accomplished on the cross. You will be saved.
All right. That's the whole thing right there. Now, he did that in 6 minutes, which means explaining all of the longer you can explain it, the better, but it must contain all of those components. And Justin did. Now, I am curious, what's he going to do for the next 8 minutes here? I think he's going to call people. He's going to press it on them. That's another thing that we need to remember. It's perfectly fine to share the gospel and leave it. It's perfectly fine to share a testimony that contains who, what, and leave it. I think if I can use the word better, it's better than to press it. What will you do with this information?
Now, I want to talk a little bit about repentance because that's something that most people don't really understand. Even many professing Christians don't understand repentance. Repentance, first and foremost, is granted to us by God.
It's a grace.
Grants repentance.
Yeah. So to those folks who say that repentance is a work, I would disagree with that. But if you want to hold on to that claim, well, it's given by God. So it's a gift. It can't be a work.
We see this in Acts chapter 5, Acts chapter 11, 2 Timothy chapter 2. God grants repentance. And when God grants repentance, our minds are changed. Some of you may have heard that repentance, the Greek word metanoia, means to change your mind. So just change your mind about your sin. That's what the word itself means.
Transliterated.
When you look at that word in the scriptures in its proper context, it does include a change of mind, but it's so much more than that.
Why? Because the mind is so much more than that. Metanoia does mean change of mind. But what is the mind? Thank you, Greg Gifford, for reminding us that our mind is the totality of oneself. It is the mind, it's the will, it's the emotions, it's the affections, it's the intuitions, it's all of us. That's what must turn. It's not a work. Confessing your sins to God, asking him for forgiveness isn't a work. It is a right response to understanding who, what. Now, I'm sure he's going to continue to unpackage, open up what repentance is and to spend time on what true faith is. I'm planting a flag. I'm staking my claim on King Jesus. I'm not just going to acknowledge its truth. I'm going to surrender to it. That's repentance and faith. And I can't help but wonder if because we've been somewhat careless, nobody has been trying to be undermining the actual gospel and not populate the kingdom. I don't think there's anybody like that. But in evangelicalism, I don't know if I shared this last week. There was the guy who was doing the big gospel presentation and telling people that God isn't angry. It's like, wait, we got to get this thing right. What might happen if all of us presented the gospel in its fullness? Might the kingdom become more populated? Methinks it would. And even if it doesn't, shouldn't we be correctly handling God's precious gospel? Until tomorrow, go serve your king.